Fish Farm, and thank you so much for joining me on another episode of Mama Moo Gossip Corner, where your latest and greatest from the Mama Moo community comes from yours truly, Abby. Now, girlies, I mean, here we are. It's refund sister time. It's spooky season time. It's, I mean, what is going on right now? I mean, the other day, right, I'm looking through my stats, and I noticed that my last episode has over 90 plays. I mean, girlies, first off, thank you so much for the love and support for this podcast, because you know what? This isn't just for me, okay? This is for you too, and this is for all your Moo friends. So, obviously, I'm thinking, and this is in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so why did this episode get a lot of traction? So I'm thinking it's either because I had a guest on, or it was because of the drama that was being spilled, or it was because of the length of the episode. But see, this is where you girlies come in. You Moos have to tell me how you guys like your episodes. I mean, come on, because I like to make it beneficial for me, for you, for me to upload it on Twitter. I mean, you know, just the list goes on. So, however you girlies like it, just let me know. This has been, like, a crazy month. I mean, you know, October is probably my favorite month, and recently I've been trying to, like, watch movies and stuff, kind of, you know, getting in the spookiness. One movie that I would recommend is, I watch The Devil All the Time. It's on Netflix, and I'm not sure, I know that it's available in the States. I don't know if it's available internationally, but there's a few well-known actors in there, and I really recommend watching The Devil All the Time. It is so freaking good. It's not Halloween themed, if that makes sense, but the thing is that it's a very messed up story, and I think it's kind of funny because real quick, I don't really like to reveal a lot about, like, personally, if that makes sense. I mean, I did make an episode about myself, but I happen to live in Ohio, and that's kind of one of the more Midwestern states of America, and the movie happens to take place in Ohio. And I'm just kind of, the whole time, I'm just kind of grinning because I'm like, yep, I know some people who are like that in Ohio. And it's, anyways, so I do recommend you watching The Devil All the Time. It is rated R, so, I mean, for all those under 18 Moos, please, how about you just not watch it when them parents are around, you know? No, this is not me encouraging bad behavior, no. Just, you know, just watch it on your own time. And you know what? This is me getting off subject, but you know what? We need to talk about what's going on today. So, Moos, I need to tell you about how I'm going to format my song review episodes, because I do plan on doing them when Mama Moo does their comeback. I plan on doing them individually, so that way you don't have to sit through stuff you don't want to listen to. If there is a more popular song that's out, I'm sure you would rather listen to that one instead of a few others. So basically how I'm going to format this episode in particular is, since Refund Sisters just came out, I mean, the group is, like, it's technically an experiment group, it's not even an official group, so we're gonna talk about their beginnings, their names, stage names, and then we're going to talk about the song in general, we're going to talk about the awards, the recognition that they've received, and the response, as well as the charity reasons, and then we're going to get out with our outro. So, girlies, let's just get on with the first subject. Alright, girlies, so let's get on to our first subject of just my first impressions of this group. Now, alright, first, we gotta know the members, right? We've got Lee Hyori, we've got Hwasa, we've got Jesse, and we've got Seung Hwa. And it's okay, so hopefully I pronounced those right because I kind of practiced before, but let's just hope that I got it right. Okay, and if I didn't get it right, I'm so sorry. But listen, these four women are such legends in the K-pop industry. So with Lee Hyori in 2006, I mean, as till this day, she's recorded as the highest paid female singer in South Korea. You've got Hwasa, who continues to dominate the charts with her new Maria album, and it debuted in June. I mean, that's tough, all right? And you've got Jessie with her Nunu Nana solo, which peaked on the number one of the Gaon Music chart. And you've got Seunghwa, who was one of the most influential females in the K-pop industry. Now, girlies, listen. When we're dealing with the Korean entertainment industry, we know that they're not exactly friendly to the female presence. So let's give some applause for Seunghwa for literally dominating the industry in every single field. Now, I'd like to focus on the older generations, meaning Lee Hyori and Seunghwa, and because, I mean, I don't even mean this in a disrespectful way, but dealing with the older generations, it's almost like we've seemed to forgot about them because I actually had to do a lot of research. I didn't, let me think. It's not that I don't know these women. I knew their names, but I didn't necessarily knew like, oh, did they win awards? Like, what did they sing? What are they known for? I didn't really know any of that. And that's possibly because of K-poppies, if you want to call them that, they're more obsessed with the newer generations. They don't really seem to want to look back at the older generations, the ones that paved the way. And so when I looked at I looked at Lee Hyori and things that she's dealt in with, she's actually a activist, which is very, very cool. But with Seunghwa, I listened to this interview that she had, and she was a part of the show, and they had her on, and she was talking about things that she had to deal with in the past. And one thing that I thought was absolutely amazing was that she had to take an 8-year break from music because she was battling thyroid cancer. And when she had a surgery to get it removed, it damaged her nerves. Meaning that, and I'll try to explain this in the best way because I'm not much of a how do you call it? I'm not a doctor. I don't know where everything is, but I do know where the vocal cords are. And what happened was, and why I mention it is because one part of her vocal cords were paralyzed. And basically, if you put like your thumb and your index finger against not the, maybe just pinch it gently against the middle of your neck. You feel like when you're let me see if I can explain this. Okay, when you pinch, do a gentle pinch in the middle of your neck with your thumb and your index finger, and you feel the increase of vibrations in your neck is, you call it your voice box, but it's these two. I'm pretty sure, yeah, it's two sliding palates that slide against each other when you speak or when you sing. Now, I know this actually. Actually, no way, I could explain this. The reason why I know that is because I've been in vocal coaching for about 5, 6 years, and I've had to know like everything that has to deal with like voice and singing and. But basically, what happens is, singing takes a lot more out on your vocal cords than speaking does. And when you, and actually, whispering, like when you talk like this, it actually hurts your vocal cords. So it's always best to speak in a regular speaking voice. But when you sing, it's always important to do warm-ups. But with Lee, or no, not her. Whoops, I'm getting mixed up. With Seunghwa, what happened was is that after her one vocal cord was damaged, she didn't. There was there was shots that she could take that could fix her, but instead she practiced, like, meaning that she did the warm-up, she did everything that she could, and she overcame it, meaning that this woman, who is absolutely amazing, she overcame her thyroid cancer, as well as saying that, no, I don't need those shots, I'm going to practice and do it myself. I mean, for me as a vocalist and as someone who does like to sing, I mean, that is amazing. Because believe me, thyroid cancer is almost a death sentence to anyone who wants a singing career. And for someone like Seung-hwa, who is the most influential person in the Korean industry, is, I mean, that speaks volumes to me. And that's why I think that people should be more interested in people who are, like, older, in the older generations of the K-pop industry. Because, you know, like I said, I didn't know any of this. You know, I had to do, I had to do some research, you know? And, So those are my first impressions of the group. I mean, that's like, when you talk about these four legends coming together, I mean, that's amazing. But how did they come together? Well, in an interview with Lee Hyori, she wanted to form a dream girl group, which consisted of all four of them. And which is amazing, because, like, could you imagine, like, first off, because, again, all of them are legends, but you have, like, put yourself in Jessie or Hwasu's position, and they're being asked by the Lee Hyori, and she wants you to be in her girl group. Like, could you imagine? I mean, that is just, like, first off, I'd probably pass out, and then I'd wake up, someone would tell it to me again, and then I pass out again. That's how it would work. And so instantly, all four of them came together, and they talked about this project. And I actually tuned in all the TV show that they were on, and they were so much fun, you know, coming together and coming up with stage names. And I could read them off for you all right now, and let's hope I don't butcher them. But for Lee Hyori, her stage name is Chung-ok. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Chung-ok. Ok? I don't know. Oh, God. Sorry, I'm dying. And then for Hwasa, it's Silby. And then for Jessie, it's Eonbi. Yeah, Eonbi. And then for Seung-hwa, it's Man-ok. Man-ok. Oh, God. I know I butchered it somewhere. But anyways, girlies, if I butchered them, please let me know. And, you know, it's just, I think it is, you know, actually, there was something funny. There was an inside joke happening on Twitter. And there's no tea. But it's funny because with Hwasa, it's just so funny. Because, like, you know, the lore goes that Hwasa killed Haijin, and then with Maria, she got killed, I mixed it up, because the reason why it's funny is because literally Hwasa has so many stage names at this point, because first off it was Haijin, then it was Hwasa, then it was Maria, and then it's Silby, and then it's kind of, and the inside joke is, like, I think I tweeted sometime before, like, you can unfollow and block me if you are a Silby stan, because we only like Maria here. So it was kind of like the Hwasa stans are just kind of like, no, if you don't stan Haijin, then you can't stan Silby. Or if you stan Hwasa, unfollow me, because I'm only a Maria fan. And so it's kind of, just been a joke. But, you know, girlies, all jokes aside, this group, like, when they formed together, let's be honest, they showed a lot of promise. I mean, because what do you think about it? Like, it's not just a collab. It's not just a project. It's the air that we breathe. It's a cultural mindset. It's that thing that you listen to when you wake up in the morning. And with all these fan bases coming together, you knew it was like the perfect recipe. And you know what, girlies? That brings us to our next subject. We are going to get to the song review. So we will see you in a bit. Alright, girlies, here you are. This is the part that you want. You want to know what I think about the song. And you know what? You're gonna get it, alright? We are gonna go through the line distribution, the chord progression, the beat drop, the instruments, the mixing used, the positives, the negatives. But you know what? Every single one of these questions, every single one of them, we always ask one thing. Did it work? Did it work? You know, with that little snap in there, we have to ask ourselves, did it work? Because all of these four ladies coming together, we knew that we were getting four divas together. And, you know, we knew they were going to deliver. We just didn't know when. So let us go through each and every one. So with the line distribution, did it work? And to that I say, yes, it did. Because think about it. We've got a song that's about, I would say it's about 2.5 minutes long. Maybe it's about three. I can't really remember. But we do know that there are four girls in it. And, you know, so you have to come to the conclusion like, oh, one girl might be a little bit more over than the rest, or one girl might not, you know, be skimping out a bit, but you have to actually look at the song and realize where everyone is coming from. Because a good example is Hwasa, she was more of the back vocals, so she wasn't always in it. But then she came around at the second to last bit of the song. So when I looked at the line progression, I don't really have the numbers in front of me, but what I do know is that the line distribution was very fair, which is good. I mean, you know, they released the song, and every K-poppy knows that when you have a fair line distribution, everyone's happy. So did it work? Yes. Now, the chord progression. What am I talking about? What is a chord progression? Now, when I'm talking about a chord progression, I'm talking about really, it's kind of in the same field as the beat drop. Now, of course, the question we must ask, did it work? And girlies, of course it worked. I mean, when that first horn blare and beat is coming in that song, you know you're in for a ride. I mean, oh my gosh, it was so funny. I'm listening, I'm just like, this is like, it took me back to like early 2000s almost. Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about out there. It kind of gave me that like, yeah. Like, I'm bopping, I'm just like, this is it, like, no one, it's funny, because, like, no one has even spoken yet, it's just, the beat is speaking for itself, and I love that. I mean, because, I'm always under the belief, and this is through all of my music theory classes, all education about music in general, the first, like, I would say 30 seconds of a song should tell you everything that you need to know as far as the motivation, the theme, the chord progression, like I said, and everything. Yeah, so yeah, everything that you need to know about that song should be in 30 seconds or less. And I had to do like an essay about it, you know, we don't need to get into that. But it's kind of like, When I listen to it, and you know, you've got that blare of the horn, and you've got some beat in the back, probably used to increase the validity of the the song, because it starts off with Jessie and she starts singing. And that actually is very good for me, because let's be honest, we always have heard Jessie rap, but we've never heard her sing, which is good because we want to hear Jessie sing. She sounds great when she sings. So, of course, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm blurting about Jessie for too long. So you've got, in the chord progression, you don't really have them singing together, which is fine. You know, I don't mind that they're not singing together, but as far as, like, everyone's vocal performance, it's very good. It's like, you get a nice taste of what everyone is capable of, and I kind of wish that we did have Hwasa rap a little bit. That's one thing, and I know, I feel like when I give critique, I don't want to seem like I'm nitpicking, but it's just one thing. I kind of wish we had someone else rap that wasn't Jessie. But hey, the question we must ask, did it work? Yes, it did. And for the beat drop, when you get to the little don't touch me, the little don't touch me part, it's a nice punch, you know? It's kind of like, the nice synchronization of all the voices coming together, it's very well put. And I have to say this, it's funny, because when I heard that it was a project, and it wasn't like they were going to be an official group, it was more experimental, it wasn't like I was like, okay, they're not gonna tour. Oh, honestly, I wasn't like that. I was kind of worried for the song a little bit, because I was worried about the quality, and I didn't know if, like, because I know, you know, you got these four legends behind this project, obviously they're gonna make it work, but the thing was, I was worrying about the music quality itself. And that's actually where we get into the instruments or the mixed use. And okay, first girl, is when I talk about instruments, I'm not talking about the freaking, I don't know, cowbell or a violin being used. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the synchronization or the mixing of the vocals and any type of beat or instrument that they've been using to help the song move. And really, there was no interruption. Everything kind of synced together, which is nice, because and actually a really nice way to put this is that there is a nice transition between the chorus and the when they get on to the next verse. Like, a good example would be in Maria. And of course, it's such a good song. I have to make a review about it. But when she transitions into from her her low beat, and then it transitions slowly into a Spanish or a Latino type of beat, I should say, that is probably the smoothest transition I have ever seen. Other than a few songs I can think of off the top of my head, that is probably the coolest transition I've seen, because it works, right? You know, snap your finger, it works. And, but when you look at, Don't Touch Me, it's not only is it working for a smooth transition, because nobody likes the fact that these songs, like, they blast in your face, there's no transition, there, even if there is an attempt at a transition, it's sloppy, ugh, nobody likes it, ew, get out of here. But with this song, it's like, yes, you know, it's, every girl gets an opportunity to show how impressive they can be, while at the same time, the song is at a good quality. And like I said, that was something I was worrying about. I didn't know how good of a quality it could have been. I feel like I'm saying quality too much. But there is one negative, that I found, and again, this isn't really me nitpicking, it's more of just a worry, and I'm worrying about the MV. And it's not that I don't feel like it's not going to be good. I'm worrying about the dance. Now, keep in mind, I listened to the song again before I started. I hit that record button. And I have to be honest. I don't really see a good dance going with this song. And I had to think about it because I've been a choreographer before. I know it seems like I've like done a lot, you know. But I've been a choreographer before for about like 2 years. And I just had to meditate on this song. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe this move would look good here. But when I really thought about it, I kind of just see them standing around and kind of bopping to it. I don't see a full-fledged dance with this song. And maybe I'm on my own here. Maybe I'm just clearly speculating. Maybe they're going to come up with something my own brain cannot comprehend. But let's hope that it is a good dance, you know? I'm not going to be negative about it, and neither should you. So, obviously, this should come to our next subject. And we are going to get on to the awards or the recognition that they have received because of their newly released song. So we will see you when I come back. Alright, and we are back to our third segment, and we are going to talk about the awards or the recognition that Reefin' Sisters has gotten with their new single track, Don't Touch Me. Now, girls, I mean, who would have thought that this single track would have done so freaking well in the charts? I mean, let me just list them off for y'all, okay? We've got number one on Melon. We have 25 plus roof hits from Genie. And we have 13 perfect all kills. Now, okay, I have to say this right now, because and when I actually release this episode, this probably will change, but this is as many award or I should say accomplishments, not awards. But this is as many things that they have gotten so far. So granted, this is probably going to be a lot more than when this episode gets released. But girlies, I mean, what the frick is this? We've got 25 plus roof hits. Who else has done that? I mean, I think I just saw on my Twitter feed the other day, I was writing my script, and I think we tied with BTS and Blackpink. I mean, hey, good job, Reefin' Sisters. Guys, this is literally their first single track, first debut. I mean, come on. What other group has done that? Oh, and also, they're not an official group. They're an experimental group. And, you know, I actually did want to get into this part. But remember the music video. It's going to be released soon. And hey, that's going to be awesome. We're going to see them in action, you know, working together. That's going to be really fun. But the thing is that, and I had to write this down because I wasn't really sure how to word it, but they may not be nominated for some awards because they aren't an official group. And they were created by a TV channel. So, you know, this is going to be kind of sad because we would like to see them actually win, you know, tangible awards. But it's possible that they will be nominated for some competitions because they aren't an official group, which, you know, is kind of unfortunate, but you know what, we love them regardless. Now, the voting for the song in general will start this week, so, you know, girlies, collect them hearts, go on those voting channels, make sure you vote for Reefin' Sisters, and hopefully we can get them some awards. So, with that said, we will possibly have a chance to win. Because even with Blackpink and NCT releasing their albums this month, we might still have a chance, considering that even though they're releasing a lot more songs, with the traction that Don't Touch Me has, I mean, hey, we might have a chance here. Just saying, okay? And, you know, I would just say when you're voting, please make sure that you make separate accounts. I know I do. If you need help with that, you know, please DM me because I can help you. And you collect those hearts when you go on Melon. You got to stream right. Go on. I would say if you're going to stream the song, go for the unofficial recording on YouTube. Do not click on any lyric videos because those do not count. I would stream on Spotify. Make sure that you get a good playlist together and make sure, and remember, this actually, you know what? This used to be me. I thought that if you just kept the song on repeat, it would count the view. Make sure you don't do that because that does not count. So make sure that you put it in, let me see, because I have it in a playlist. I have about 6 songs in there. Yeah. So make sure you put a playlist with about 6 songs in there. Keep that on shuffle. Make sure that Refund Sisters gets your view count because, hey, every view counts. Now, okay, girlies, with these accomplishments, I mean, it's going to be a major deal for them. Because not only is it going to give them a lot of recognition, but it also speeds way into our next segment. And I know this one was kind of short, but believe me, the next one will be a little bit longer because this is all going towards a great cause. And with that said, we will be right back and get into that segment. Don't touch me. So girlies, here we are, last segment, and we really need to talk about the basis of this song. Now, Refund Sisters came out, and when we were told they were an experimental group, we didn't really know how to feel about that, did we? We were like, oh, okay, you know, they're going to be together, that's totally awesome. I mean, hey, 4 legends, 4-headed monster, right, Jesse? And so when we heard that they were coming out with this song, we also heard that all proceedings, meaning all the money earned with this song coming out, will go towards charity. Now, I have to be honest, I wanted to find out which charity this was going to or what cause this was supporting. I mean, I didn't find anything, but maybe Amoo out there has. So if you have found out, please DM me because I would like to clarify that in my next episode. But regardless, supporting any charity nowadays is amazing. With the times that we are in today, a lot of people are struggling, and making any donation like that is, I mean, like, especially considering that the song is doing so well, that's going to be a lot of money, meaning a lot of support and a lot of love towards a very serious cause. Now, this is actually Lee Hyori's idea. And, you know, it's kind of funny because she has an activist past. And, you know, I found out a little bit about that. She cares for, like, animal shelters and stuff. So maybe that's an inkling towards where the money is going. Possibly, I don't know. And it's great because this song is about, you know, being encouraging and that, like, uplifting people. And, you know, be positive towards people that are not like you. They have, you know, people have unique qualities, and it supports individuality, which is a good thing because when you think about this song, right, and it's very, you know, it's very diva-ish. It's very, you know, like, fun, and it's like, you know, you want to keep listening to more. And hopefully we get another track from them, and hopefully maybe that goes towards another cause. But with that said, you know, I have never seen a group do this before. You know, and you know, respond in the comments if you know of a group who released a song. Doesn't have to be a debut track, doesn't have to be a single or anything like that. Just saying that any revenue that they earn from one song, they're going to donate that to a charity. I mean, and this isn't, hey, really quick, this isn't like going to drag any other group ever that has been ever made. But what I mean is that I've never seen a group take this initiative to support, you know, a charity or like a single charity or support a cause or possibly more causes in general. And, you know, honestly, I think that the girls are very admirable for that. And I mean, what else, really, what else is there to say? That really is a great initiative. And girlies, we have to be proud of them. Now, here we are. It's about the end of the episode. And let's get on with the outro. Don't touch me. All right, girlies, here we are. We are at the outro of the fifth episode of Mamamoo Gossip Corner. Girlies, you made it. I mean, thank you so much for sticking around for my review. How did you like it? You know, this is the part where I ask you girlies how you felt. Did you like my review? Did you like my review format? What did you even think of the song? You know, let me know. Do you have high hopes for the MV? Do you think they're going to win tangible awards for the song? Do you want to hear more from Refund Sisters? How do you think about them donating to a cause? You know, think about that. And but see, how are you supposed to know how to tell me things when you don't even know how to reach me? Well, I'll tell you how. So you can follow me on Twitter at WhatARadRadish. You can always DM me or comment on any post or tweet that I make. I also have an Instagram. Now, I'm not very active on the Instagram, but I always post my new episodes on there when I upload. So you can always follow the Instagram. It's official_WhatARadRadish. You know, obviously, it's not that hard to remember. And I need to talk about my upcoming episode. Now, girlies, I'm blank. I mean, look, I've got my list here, and I do have a few ideas, obviously. But the thing is that I want to hear what you girls want me to talk about. Now, obviously, as I said in my outro, you moos love to hear when I have a moo on. I mean, that was kind of the response that I feel like I was getting. Now, if that's what you want, so be it. I would love to have a moo on. Now, obviously, if you yourself would like to come on the, like, podcast, I would love to have you. Obviously, you need to DM me first, but if you feel like you're too shy to, don't hesitate to ask me questions. You know, even if you feel like you just want to know more about being a guest, don't feel obligated that you're like, oh, well, if she thinks I'm interested, that means I have to be on. No, that's perfectly fine. When I a little backstory about me. When I was just a guest on the Kingdom podcast, which also I will link down below because I am a co-host of that podcast now, but when I was a guest, I was kind of nervous. I was like, oh no, I feel like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I was kind of nervous about, you know, coming out of my shell. But then I realized, you know, it's like you're just talking to friends. You know, when you're in the Moo community, all of them are your best friends, right? So don't ever hesitate to even call me on Discord. I literally was just on the phone with a Moo the other day. We had a lot of fun. But, you know, DM me, call me, whatever you want. I am here at your disposal. And with that, Moos, I will see you later in the next episode. Bye-bye!